Matthew chapter number 4 is where we want to turn in our Bibles. Matthew chapter 4. We're going to look at one verse this evening, Matthew 4, and we're going to look at verse number 19. I want to preach to you a message, very simple message, that's entitled, What is Our Mission? What is our mission? In other words, it is a great reminder to you and me that if we are disciples of Christ, as we claim we are, we call ourselves Christians, therefore we are disciples of Christ, that what does that mean? What is the mission that the Lord Jesus has given us? What is it that our life will be about if we are a disciple of Christ? Well, Matthew 4 and verse 19 really lays that out for us very well. As you can imagine, with the early stages of the book of Matthew, where we'll be for the text, we are in the early stages of Jesus' earthly ministry. In fact, he's so early in his ministry that he's calling out his disciples to follow him. And as he calls them to follow him, he lays out for them what their mission will be. And I want to take from this verse tonight a mission for you and me. Because we may not live in the same day when he was in his earthly ministry, but we're still followers of Jesus. Therefore, the mission applies to us as well. Matthew 4 and verse 19. We'll start with verse 18. It'll give us the context. It says, And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. I would point out to you that he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. We want to look at just two very simple points here in the message this evening. Number one, we want to see the mission that he would give them. And then number two, we want to see the key to fulfilling their mission. And we'll make application to you and me this evening. Let's pray, and we'll get right into this message here this evening. Lord, I thank you again for giving me the privilege and the honor to be able to stand behind this pulpit and to open up your word and to declare, Thus saith the Lord, to share with your people exactly what it is that you have laid out as a mission for us. Now, Lord, I'm in need, as much as they are, for you to speak to me, to remind me of something that I've known for a long time, that I've heard many times. Lord, this is not new to us. This is not something where we'll get some piece of information that we've never heard before. Rather, Lord, this is what we've been taught from the beginning of our Christianity, most of us. That when we believed on you, that you gave us a mission then to follow you and that you would make us disciples, your disciples, and therefore fishers of men. So, Lord, I pray now that you would enable me to preach in such a way that all of us are convinced by your Holy Spirit of the truth that we have a mission and what the key to following and fulfilling that mission is. Would you enable me in a powerful way? Would you give all of us ears to hear? Would you please rebuke our enemy, the wicked one, who would try to snatch the seed of your word from our hearts and minds? Would you not let him do that, Lord? Would you bind him hand and foot and make him just watch as you do your work with your people? Lord, I ask that you would do that for Jesus' sake. For your sake, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is our mission? Well, as I mentioned to you, two points here in the message. We'll get right into the first one. The first one is there was a mission that Jesus would give them, and you've already guessed it, based on the reference verse, Matthew 4:19, that the mission was that they would be fishers of men. Now, Jesus used this statement with them, this analogy that they would be fishers of men, because as it says, this is Simon, Peter, and Andrew, those two, and they were fishers. The Bible states it clearly in verse 18 that they were fishers. Their job, the way that they made money, the way that they fed their families was they went out on a boat, they had a big net, and they would cast that net out into the sea, and they would draw it back in, and they would pray and hope and trust and use all the wisdom that they had within their skill and ability and what they'd been taught to pull in a great number of fishes or fish in that net. And then they would take those And I'm sure they'd throw the little ones back and take the big ones and they'd try to sell them in the market. That's how they would make money. Well, they were doing that. They were going about their business, providing for their families as a good man does. And as they did that, Jesus stops by and says to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. They would have a new mission in life. And I want all of us to understand here that when we became followers of Jesus Christ, he gave us a new mission. It doesn't mean that necessarily your secular occupation that you used to pay the bills changed, but it did mean that the focus of your life changed. Whether you realized it or not, Jesus called on you to be a fisher of men, just like he's called on me to be a fisher of men. Whether we realize it or not, when we were born again, now we no longer were known as a plumber or a carpenter or a fireman or a policeman or doctor or whatever. We might use that term and it might pay the bills and feed our families, but that's not really what our life is to be about. Rather, we are to be about fishing for men. And I want to encourage you that that's what your life should be about. The Lord Jesus Christ has given you a mission. You are a fisher of men, and so am I. Not only that, but I want to take it a step further and say that's really why our church exists. I want you to understand that this church exists not because you and I need something else to do. Would you agree with me on that? Your life is probably, like my life, very busy. I know I am. I know it's difficult for me to do all the things that I need to do, and many times I feel overwhelmed and exhausted and like maybe something needs to kind of be shaved off from the fringes and the edges of my life because there's so much going on and always something to do, running from one thing to another. So we don't need something to occupy time. That's not why we're here. We're here because God has given us a mission to be fishers of men, and this time that we have together is not necessarily used to be a fisher of men, although it's nothing wrong with bringing in somebody who's lost into the service and hoping that they will hear the gospel. But rather, this is an opportunity where I can encourage you and edify you. You can encourage and edify me. We can then become encouraged and edified and go out into this world and Monday through Saturday, and yes, even on Sundays, we can be fishers of men and do the mission, fulfill the mission that Jesus has given us. Now, let me point out to you the type of fishing that these men did. Note that their fishing was not like our fishing. Peter and his brother were not out there casting a line into the sea. There was no bobber on the end of a fishing pole that they were doing. There was no hook. There wasn't bait. They weren't trolling or casting or using a trolling motor, and they didn't have sonar and all of that that we use nowadays. By the way, isn't that cheating? I think that is cheating. I'm kind of old school on that. Of course, I never catch any fish, but that's cheating. Back where I was, boy, you just had to know where the fish were. Back when I used to do a lot of that. But listen, they weren't casting a hook into the sea to trick the fish into biting the hook and then reeling the fish in with a hook in its mouth. That's not the type of fishers that they were. They were the fisher of men, as in they cast a net into the sea. That's important because that's what Jesus is calling you and me to do. You see, we don't try to catch people by surprise. We're not salespeople trying to sell a product that nobody wants to buy and just trying to make it look as pretty as it possibly can and hoping that they don't notice that they're really buying a lemon. Not to pick on used car salesmen, but isn't that kind of a stereotype that we have? That's not what you and I are sent here to do. Rather, we are sent to cast the net of the gospel out and let the net catch the people that God has put in our path and allowed us to catch. So I would have you to note that sometimes when they cast the net out, they caught a lot of fish. Other times they did not catch any, but it wasn't the fisherman's job to worry necessarily about whether or not fish were being caught. It was his job to cast the net. Now, he was skilled. He used wisdom and knowledge. He probably watched the phases of the moon and all those kind of things to know that during this phase of the moon, the fish are probably over here in this part of the sea, and maybe another part when the weather is hot, they go deep or whatever it might be. He would use some wisdom, but it wasn't his job to somehow conjure up the ability to get fish into the net. He was to go where the fish were. He was to cast the net and let the net do the rest. And there's a great analogy for you and me. You see, our job as fishermen is to cast the net, period, end of story. Yes, we're to use a little bit of wisdom. We're to go where the fish are. We're to try to use the ability that God has given us with our minds to understand that we need to present the gospel in a way that shows its true light, not deceiving people, but showing them what the gospel really is. We need to make it presentable, but at the same time, it is our job to cast the net, period, end of story. And it's God's job to supply the fish for us. Look with me, if you would, keeping your place in Matthew chapter number 4. Notice with me Luke chapter 5. Here's another passage of Scripture that tells a very similar narrative here in Luke chapter number 5. Notice with me with verse number 1. Luke chapter number 5, verse number 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when he had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. We see there an example of Jesus in that very moment that he's calling Peter to be a fisher of men. He's giving him an example that in his fishing for men, it's not about Peter and Peter's wisdom and ability to catch fish. It's in Peter's willingness and ability to obey the Savior. That if he will cast the net out at the inclination that Jesus had, that Jesus would provide the fish. And friends, there's a great illustration there for you and me of fishing for men. You can often get discouraged and downcast when there's somebody that you're burdened about, or maybe somebody that you feel has been put in your path, and you share the gospel with them, you cast the net of the gospel, and they do not get saved, or maybe they reject it, or maybe there's some type of a disgruntled situation there. But let me encourage you not to get discouraged with that. Just be faithful to cast the net and let the Lord Jesus do the drawing. He's the only one who can do it. That's a great thing for us to remember with this situation that we're in with the DeForest Baptist Bible study that we'd like to see turn into a church. Listen, it's God's business whether or not it becomes a church. Our job is to do what we can. Our job is to obey as he opens the door, to walk through it. It's his job to decide whether or not anything comes of it. But our job is just to be obedient, to be fishers of men. And I'm thankful that on Thursday nights, there's a group that goes out and casts the net of the gospel there in DeForest. What an encouragement that is to me to think of that happening. Boy, the same thing is true with street ministry, isn't it? As we go downtown and hand out gospel tracts there, we don't often see people falling down on their knees and saying, what must I do to be saved? Brother Dexter, that didn't happen to you this week, did it? I didn't think so. It hasn't happened to me recently either. But our job is not to worry about that. Our job is to cast the net, to be fishers of men. It's the mission that we have been given. And friends, as I move on from this point, may I emphasize to you tonight, listen, you are part of that mission, whether you realize it or not. Now, you might be AWOL, absent without a leave, in the mission, but it's your mission to be a fisher of men. And there's coming a time when you will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and part of the judgment that he will give to you is, were you a fisher of men? Now, I don't know how he'll word that. I don't know how it will look, but I do know that we've been given the command to be a fisher of men. And part of the responsibility that we have is to share the gospel with those around us. Now, obviously, as a church, we have different times and opportunities for us to get the gospel out, and I'm thankful for that. By the way, let me encourage you, if you are able, be a part of our outreach times. Not because there's anything supernatural or magical about the outreach times. There's not. You can certainly do it on your own. There's nothing spiritual about being there at the outreach times. But I can tell you this from experience. Number one, it's more enjoyable when you're with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Number two, you're more likely to be consistent with it if there's a set time that you've put in your calendar. This is the time I'm going to go. And that's one of the reasons our church provides that opportunity, so you can have an opportunity to be there and say, I'm going to commit to this, and this is something I'm going to be a part of, and I'm going to be there, and I'm going to get the gospel out. Because otherwise, my experience with life is this. If I don't put it on my calendar, it doesn't get done. So let me encourage you, be a fisher of men, whatever that looks like. I would encourage you to be a part of the ministries if you're able. If not, then do it on your own time and do it in your own way, but be a fisher of men. Let's move on and look back at Matthew chapter number 4. And I want to encourage you, as we look at verse 19, that Jesus not only gave them a mission that they were to fulfill, but he gave them the key to fulfilling the mission. And he saith unto them, verse 19 of Matthew 4, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. Did you catch that? The key to fulfilling their mission was to follow Jesus. That's it. Jesus did not say, if you'll take this seminar, if you'll pay this fee and watch online, and you can learn how to be a fisher of men. Jesus did not say, you know, this thing or that thing, and then you'd be a fisher of men. It was real simple. Two words. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And it's the same truth for you and me today, that if we're going to be fishers of men, the key to fulfilling that mission is follow Jesus. Because if you and I will follow him, he will lead us, just like he did his other disciples, to be fishers of men. He always leads that way. In fact, if you're not a fisher of men, don't tell me that you follow Jesus. It's a lie. Because Jesus always leads to be fishers of men. That's what Jesus is concerned about. The eternal destiny of the lost. That is the burning concern of his heart. It's not whether or not America is a great nation. It's not whether or not the economy is going to be good or not. It's not whether or not China takes over the world. That's not the burning desire of Jesus' heart. His desire is that men would be saved. And so if I'm a follower of him, that will then become the burning desire of my heart. All we have to do is follow him. Let me point out to you a couple of easy thoughts, simple thoughts, about following Jesus. Number one, it means that he leads. Well, you'd say, well, duh, Pastor. I know, duh. And yet it's so difficult. If we are going to follow him, that means he leads. In fact, it's so much that way. Look with me at the book of Mark, chapter number 1. Mark and chapter 1. Look at verse 17. This is Mark's narrative of the same event. Verse 16 of Mark 1. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Now, notice the wording in verse 17. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. In Mark's narrative, he doesn't say, follow me. Mark says that he said, come ye after me. It's the same thing, isn't it? But I believe God puts it in there with different wording so that you and I can understand what follow me means. Come after me. It means that as I go this way, you follow after me. That if I turn to this direction, that you turn where I turn. That I am the leader. That means that if we are to follow him, this is the second easy thought or simple thought about following him, not only that he leads, but it means that we follow his leadership. It means that we're always looking to him and what direction he's going. And here's just three different areas where if he's the leader, it will affect what we do. Number one, it will affect our direction. If we are a follower of Jesus, it will affect our direction. In other words, it's not about me and where I want to go and what I want to do. It's if he's leading, then I go where he is going. You know, for you and me as Christians, life's a little bit different than it is for the world. I mentioned this morning that sometimes my family and I, for entertainment purposes, will watch some of these shows where people will be looking for a house. And as I mentioned this morning, they usually want some kind of an extra room, and I have yet to find one where they wanted a prayer room. But one of the other things that I'm struck with, and it's going to make me sound as if I'm the super spiritual person, and if you've been in the church long enough, you know that's not true, so set that aside, all right? But I can't help but notice that with so many of these couples that are on these shows, many times they'll be, for instance, in some foreign country somewhere. And the thing in modern day is, well, our job went virtual. So I'm able, as long as I have an internet connection, I can live pretty much wherever I want to live in the world. And so they usually go to some tropical location where the weather's great, you know, like Madison, Wisconsin. Someplace where the weather's incredible. No, they're usually in the Caribbean or something like that. Right, Brother Dexter? That's right, Trinidad. And yet Dexter's still here. He thinks our weather is great. It's usually someplace like that. And they go there and they want to be as secluded as possible and yet still have an internet connection. And here's what I think about it. And again, this is going to make me sound spiritual. It shouldn't. Again, I'm just like every one of us. But I think to myself, you know, if my job went virtual, which I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, is it? Deacons, help me out with that, would you? I don't think this job is going to become virtual anytime soon. But if it did, you know, I couldn't just move wherever I wanted to move. Let me say for you, if your job goes virtual, you shouldn't just move any old place you want to move. You're to follow the Savior. Now, if he calls you to move somewhere else, and it's, you know, someplace where the weather's great, then good for you. I'm glad for you. And sometimes God does do that, and God does allow. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't want to make it feel like anytime God calls us to something, it's always to something miserable. You know, sometimes God does just bless you with a beautiful situation. He really does. But it shouldn't be about what's comfortable. It shouldn't be about where I want to go. He sets the direction. That means that if he places me in Madison, Wisconsin, where the winters are cold, the summers are mosquito infested, and the politics are not my own. But if this is where Jesus wants me to be, if this is where he leads, then here I am. And if someday he leads somewhere else, wherever that might be, he sets the direction because I'm a follower of him. Now, what about you? Are you a follower of Jesus? Or do you set the direction? Not only direction, but think about this, speed. If we are followers of Jesus, he sets the speed. I don't know that I can put that into some kind of great application, but just think about that for just a minute. We don't go not only where we want to go, but we don't go at the pace we want to go. He might lead one direction for a long time or a short time or whatever, but if we're following Jesus, he sets the speed. And then also, thirdly, if we're following Jesus, he not only sets the direction and the speed, but he sets the individual steps. One thing at a time. He's the one who sets all of that, the tempo and the steps. Sometimes he'll lead this way and then that way, but it doesn't matter. If we're following him, he sets the steps. And friends, I struggle with allowing Jesus to be the leader. But that's the key to fulfilling the mission. And I want to encourage you tonight to let him be the leader. Because if you desire, as I do, to be a fisher of men, It's not about learning a better method of catching men with, you know, the hook of the gospel. It's about being obedient to cast the net and letting him be the leader. And if you and I will follow him and allow him to be the leader, then he will make us fishers of men. Turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Numbers, where he really sets this up. Numbers. Numbers, chapter number 9. Numbers chapter 9 and verse 15. Numbers 9 and verse 15. I've got to get to the right book here. I was in Deuteronomy for a moment there. Numbers 9, verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even until the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not, but when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents, and at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. You see what we learned there from that passage of Scripture using an Old Testament example of how God guided the children of Israel in the wilderness. Here's what he did. All they had to do was follow his presence. When the cloud of his presence was lifted off the tabernacle, they said, all right, it's time to go. Let's pack up. And wherever it went, they went. And what I notice about that is, number one, God does not lead the same way every time. Let me say that again. God does not lead the same way every time. He is varied in the way that he leads. Now, why would God be varied in the way that he leads? And I believe the answer to that is because you and I are called to faith. And if he were to lead the same way every time, then it doesn't require any faith. I just have to learn the formula then. And God is very much against formulas. He wants us to follow by faith. And so it's varied. Sometimes it's a long time. Sometimes it's a short time. Sometimes it's here. Sometimes it's at night. Sometimes it's during the day. But he always leads. And all we have to do is stay with him and in his presence. And he will lead. And friends, if we apply that then to Matthew 4 and being a follower of Jesus, what that means is, as long as we stay close to the presence of the Lord Jesus, he will lead and we will be fishers of men. That he'll put us in positions where there are people near us where, listen, we don't have to convince them to be saved. We don't have to twist their arm behind their back and learn to be a good salesperson and sell Jesus to them. But rather, all we have to do is give the gospel. Just be faithful to cast the net. And friends, cast it often. Be a follower of Jesus. He'll make you a fisher of men. We don't have time to look at it. I wish we did, but we need to get moving on with the service. John 15. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Then he said, he that abideth in me, the same bringeth forth much fruit. What does a branch do to abide in the vine? Nothing. It just stays there. It doesn't peel itself away. It stays connected to the vine. And as long as the branch stays connected to the vine, there's life flowing into it. And the life that flows into it naturally brings forth fruit. As long as you and I stay connected to Jesus, the life of Jesus will naturally flow through us and naturally bear fruit. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to be amazing at selling the gospel or on and on. All we have to do is stay connected to Him, and His life through us will bear fruit. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Are you following Jesus? Let's pray, and then we'll get right to the Lord's table tonight.